Chapter 27. Dress Rehearsal. A bald Sikh. How would my hirsute ancestors back there in India have reacted to such an apostate? And if they knew that I'd had my scalp permanently debilitated, well, I'd be lucky to escape alive. This thought invariably flashed through Robert Singh's mind when he lowered the tightly fitting skullcap over his head and checked that the eye pads were excluding all light. Then he sat in total darkness and silence, waiting for the automatic sequencer to take over. First there was the faintest of sounds, so low-pitched that he could almost hear the separate vibrations. Still at the limit of detectability, it climbed upward octave by octave until it vanished at the edge of hearing. Indeed, beyond that, for though Singh had never bothered to check, he was quite sure that the mechanism of his ears could never respond to the frequencies that were now flowing directly into his brain. Silence returned, and he waited for the far more complex vision calibration sequence to begin. First, there was pure color. He might have been floating at the center of a perfectly featureless sphere, its inner surface painted the deepest red. There was not the slightest trace of pattern or structure, and the eyes ached in the attempt to find some. No, that wasn't quite correct. The eyes did not come into the circuit at all. Red, orange, yellow, green, the familiar colors of the rainbow, but in laser-sharp purity. Still no image of any kind, only an unbroken chromatic field. At last images began to appear. First an open grid, which filled up rapidly with reticulations that became finer and finer until they could no longer be resolved. This was replaced by a sequence of geometric shapes, rotating, expanding, shrinking, morphing into each other. Though we had lost all sense of time, the whole calibration program had lasted less than a minute. When a soundless whiteout engulfed him like an Antarctic blizzard, he knew that the scanning process was complete, and that the brain man's monitoring system had satisfied itself that his neural circuits were properly matched to receive its outputs. Sometimes, though very rarely, an error message would flash across his field of consciousness, and he would have to repeat the whole sequence. That usually cleared the problem. If it didn't, Singh knew better than to try again. Once, when he had needed to acquire some skills in a hurry, he had operated the manual override in an attempt to bypass the electronic roadblock. His reward had been a nightmare display of images, always just beyond his ability to grasp properly, like the phosphenes that result from pressure on the eyeballs, but far more brilliant. By the time he had hit the cutout, he had acquired a splitting headache. And it could have been much worse. Irreversible zombification by malfunctioning brain men was no longer as common as in the early days of the device, but it still happened.